Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation. mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And every you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and you know, it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together. And just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Well, many people are wanting so bad to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of captivity of God's people that when they even start making any kind of movement in that direction, the religious captivity just puts terror in them. And the captors who may mean well cause them to feel like following God and wanting to do something for God is a negative thing, and that it will bring negative consequences upon them. But it really is this: they don't know how to help that person. They don't have a grid, like a map has a latitude and longitude. Mm-hmm. They don't have a grid for how to allow people to grow up and be full in the measure of Christ and to function, because you know, the fivefold ministry, the five gifts that God's given the church is for the purpose of training God's people up so they can do the works of service. And the church grows itself up and builds itself up as each part does its work. But in our past generations, we were kind of like in a box. We're like in some sort of just, this is the only way it can be done. There's no other way it can, I'm not talking about world, you know, since Jesus, I'm just talking about the American concept of right. things. And people were just locked down over that. They just couldn't understand how that works. And then they would feel, how can I do that? I'm just a simple fisherman. You know I read the Bible. I know God speaks to me. I know that I'm called. I know I need to be trained up. I know I need something. I might not be able to articulate it. And the thing about it is when you are in the early stages of your adolescence, of your walk with God, you know you need some things and you're totally open to them, but you can't articulate them because you don't know what that is that you need yet. That's why you need those around you who have a grid to help you, that they want to see what God's doing in your life come to its fruition. And not just so you can say, hey, I did something. It's because you have something to offer the body of Christ that they need. God's doing something unique in you, that there will be a people group, there will be a revelation, that'll be something that God will do through you if you'll step out in obedience to God. If you're in that adolescent phase of you know, you can feed yourself, but now you're moving into the adult phase of saying, I know I'm supposed to feed others. And you need to be around those that understand that. I wouldn't be critical of those who don't have a grid for how to do that. Understand that they don't have a grid. Or, you know, maybe they just fell captive to, they're just feel like success for everybody is if they just maintain what they have. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you don't give, you don't receive. If you don't let go, if you don't cast your bread upon the water, mm-hmm. you're not going to get anything back. And mm-hmm. the truth is that we're a currency. We're all meant to be moving continually in the things of God. And I really believe the Lord just going to break a lot of people out of that kind of captivity. The thing is, you got to remember that if this is true in the context of what I'm talking about, you're still an adolescent in the context of being trained up. It's not that you're not called. It's not that you don't have desire. It's not that God's not speaking to you, you know, Samuel. You still need to be trained up. And so that understanding that your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep you. I see more and more of this new grid. It's not new grid, but just getting back to biblical grid happening. You know, I see ministers and fathers in the Lord and mothers in the Lord that are just saying, you know what? I feel success for me is helping other people achieve what God has had and has in their life and to be there for them during this journey. And that's where you want to be. You want to be related to somebody in the context of that God's calling you to relate to. And then begin to mature, move from adolescence to adulthood and understanding that you're still related, mm-hmm. but it's time to function. Mm-hmm. It's time mm-hmm. to function. And you're not losing anything by being related. You're actually keeping something.
Yeah.
You know, you'll lose it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And, but if you get connected to family and, you know, which is the church, when you say family, church is family, church is family, vice versa, that this is where things are. And that's what will bring the third great awakening, if you would, or the changing of the mind of the Church of America and the repentance that has to happen. I remember when, you know, Brother Kim was telling me, and Charles Simpson had spoke about it as well, and during the outpouring that took place in the 60s, where so many people were touched, just right in the middle of their darkness and their you know, they called the hippie movement and all that thing was, you know, free sex and communal living and drugs, and just in the middle of all that, God just reached down and began to save one after another, and they would show up, you know, in a church gathering barefoot with 500-pound Bibles, the family Bible dedicated to God, which now are missionaries around the world and doing these different things. But it began when they began to come together with like-minded people and begin to pray. And he said they got together in homes and began to pray. They didn't, you know, try to do something in the present gatherings of the church. They just got together in their homes and began to pray and began to seek God. And in that's when things begin to pour out, because the pain produced the push that caused the people to begin to check their theology. You know, how am I relating to God and what is God saying? Let's get a different grid here. They begin to pray, got the theology right, and theology pushes culture. And so with that, when we repent, that's what it is repenting, all of a sudden you'll find out that you are so much more to God when you understand you can help other people be more. You are so much better for God when you understand it's your life to help people be better. You know, if you want to get what you need in life, don't think about you. Help other people get what they need in God, and God will take care of you. It's amazing how that works. And then find joy in that. I mean, don't be thinking about yourself, because if that was your last thing you did, and even if nothing came back to you, understand that you were successful.
Yeah.
You were successful in the context of reproducing and pouring your life into others. And maybe one good way to describe that is, you know, every Elisha needs an Elijah. Realize there was a school of prophets going on at the time, but God did not pull from the school of prophets. You can't get what I'm talking about from some school somewhere.
Right.
Now, the context of if there is a spiritual father, for example, that you're related to, but he has a school, you're in relationship with him in the context of receiving that revelation, and it's in the con- the context of that relationship and the revelation that releases you into what God has called you to. But if it's something about like you go off somewhere to some strange folks to learn some unique doctrine, and they're going to go back to what you called was who you're connected and related to. It's just,
right.
They just didn't pull from the school. They pulled from the sons. They pulled from the sons. And so you're going to have to be the one maybe that pours water on the hands of Elijah. You have to be the one that serves and realizes that's how God does what he does. But you know what? When we do that, then God gives you a double portion, because it wasn't about Elijah. It was what God was doing. And God gave a double. You take everything that God was doing in Elijah and double it, and that's what God gave Elijah.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do public schools have to accommodate the religious views of a student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Friends of mine have taken their elementary school child out of school for 4 days to a Bible conference they go to. They do this about twice a year, sometimes just once. Well, a new principal has come into their school who refused to excuse it. However, the principal who just retired did excuse her last year. And so they just don't know how to proceed or if the school has to excuse the child.
Well, I think the answer is they have to accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs of the parents with respect to the child. They must accommodate them, and we'd be happy to talk with the school administration and clarify this, because it sounds like a lot of confusion since they're letting one group go ahead and do it and the other they're not. There may just be some real confusion here, and we'll be happy to help. But again, the school's obligation legally is to accommodate the parents' sincerely held religious beliefs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right?
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But when we're talking about Mark Hamby, Dr. Hamby, and I don't believe he's a false prophet, but I am saying that he got a word that was from heaven.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that the second word might be a little bit, you know, different. And I had a few second words before. You ever had a second word before?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
I've had
yeah.
some.
Yeah, you pull, it's like a first word is like, you can like, man, and you just build, and you got this cookie cutter shape like the first word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get ready to whack the next piece of cookie dough and go, I got this puppy. Bam! And it just like, what happened? It didn't work. It was because it's a proceeding word.
Yeah.
It's a proceeding word. It's fresh. And, but the word that it's amazing is, he wrote it out in a book called We Have Not Many Fathers. And that's what, in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, Paul talks about it. The Apostle Paul is that we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I am your Father in Christ Jesus. And the revelation just builds. And that even Jesus didn't even start his own ministry until his Father publicly affirmed him, their relationship and his pleasure with him. Two very important things. This is my son who's in good standing with me. This is my son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then, you know, then you need to, that's a spiritual father going, you need to hear what he's saying. Have you been over to his ministry? Have you shown up at his church? You know, that type of thing. And the reason why is because God knew what Jesus would do. And when Paul was talking about it, he knew what Timothy would do. Because, you know, and then Jesus says, imitate me. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father told him to do. Yeah. You know, and what did Paul? Paul said, imitate me. What did Timothy do? He did what Paul taught him to do because he said, go and let them know about the pattern I teach everywhere in every church. Mm. And he said, there's a lot to that. But in this revelation, it's about family and father. It's just very powerful. But one thing that I just heard recently, I think John and I heard him saying last night was, and he's kind of, He's tapping into the sounds of heaven that we've been tapping into. It looks like for some time we've been tapping into it and trying to hear clearly about, you know, what God is doing in this generation. And it was pretty it was a lot of harmony and kind of hearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And one specific thing is that people took that revelation and they put it in the context of the old wineskin.
Yeah.
They took the original revelation that it's Father, Son, order in the church from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my son Adam, and then my son second Adam, Jesus the second Adam, and that, and you can take what God's doing and you can try to stick it into your cookie cutter that was the first word. You know, the what was working for you in the past,
right?
And destroy them both, because a new revelation, a new wine requires a new wineskin. You got to be willing to shed off the old skin. You got to, and the thing about it is, if we're not willing to shed it off, then it's not God anyway. Because what we're saying is, that's mine,
right?
That's mine. I can't let it go. And it's like, really? Then that wasn't God all this time? All this time that you been preaching at me and teaching at me and telling me we need to do this and do that and all that. You're not willing to let it go.
Right.
This is your kingdom. This is not God's kingdom then. Mm. Right? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because if you're following God, you just want to go wherever the cloud is moving.
And he loves to say, take the boy to the top of Mount Moriah. Didn't we do that four times? Have we done that four times already? And you kind of give that look to everybody. Go, oh, he's going to Mount Moriah. We don't know if we're going to come back with the boy or not, but praise God, he's going to, you know.
Going to the mountain.
Going to the mountain. And that boy better hope he hears from God. Right?
Exactly.
Never a son was more glad than his son that he heard from the Lord. He had a father that can hear from God, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you hear God? Have you heard a word yet? No, not yet. Just tie your hands up and get it on top of the wood. Dear God, talk to my dad. The church is the church is the church, I mean, which is people. The church is people. If you don't know this, it's probably a shocker. You can go back and listen to hold on for a moment if you haven't heard this, that the church is actually people. It's not a building. Brace yourself for this. And just pause for a moment and just pause and say, okay, just, you know, take what you thought it was and put it aside in a safe place, because you have to go grab it again. Go, oh my goodness. And you can pull it back out again and look at it. But just put it there and then step outside of the 4.5% of the world's population, America, and then look around the world and say, well, if this thing that I have in this secure box is the church, then what do they have? Because all they have is an oak tree. Mm. You know, all they have is a cave.
Yeah.
All they have is this back area. Mm-hmm. All they have is this place where they throw a blanket over their heads when they gather so nobody can see them, and they whisper when they talk, and they put guards outside wherever they're at so they don't hear, people don't hear. I mean, if this Crystal Cathedral that I got locked out of my box is the church, what do they have? Mm. Or the question is, if that's the church, 95% of the world, right, population, if that's the church, then what is this? And I love the way that if you have a, this is how he gave the analogy, Dr. Hamby did, about imagine a cannonball or a cannon that was on a warship, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and it drops down in the ocean. And you know, Pat and I had a privilege to go down diving and seeing some things, what happens in that nature. We have yet to get John underwater.
No, not yet.
It was a very short baptism.
When we go to Mexico, maybe, maybe.
We ain't going there unless we could. Maybe.
I know that's what.
Are
I
you? You're probably hearing that. I think didn't somebody show up with a word at your home with that to go to Mexico?
Oh yeah.
No, it was just buy my truck. Let's go to Mexico. And so once it's down there for a long time, all these barnacles and all this growth, and it just starts piling up. You have one layer of this barnacles and stuff that gets on
coral,
and it attaches itself to the cannon. And that may die off or whatever, but then another layer of coral and barnacles will get on top of that one. Mm. And then it would just builds over the years. So finally you got this big ball of barnacle and coral, and you pass over it, you know, as a diver or something. You're thinking, wow, wow. But somebody who understands how things work, they say, you know, there might be something there other than what you're looking at. And so when they bring this big, huge, what they perceive to be just might be the church. I mean, it might be a cannon. You know, they pull it up, and it's just one big wad of whatever that is that attached itself over the seasons to the cannon. Then they start cleaning it up. There could be treasure in there. We need to find out what's really it, because what we're looking at, it's just stuff that attached itself to the original thing, but the original thing is still there. We just got to find the simplicity of the church. We got to find the church again. Where is the church in all this? And besides, all this stuff costs money, and it costs time, and it costs effort, and it costs energy. And we need to say, you know, where is the temple? Where is the building of God? Where is, you know, and then we got to ask that question, you know, where is the cannon? We're digging and we're chipping. We're trying to be careful. Because we don't want to hurt the church. I mean, we don't want to hurt the cannon, because the cannon's important, but we got to get all this other stuff off. So you got to be real careful when you're trying to separate, you know, the what's attached itself to the church from the church, which is the body of Christ, and how you got to look at it. And when you find out, when you find the cannon, it's a lot smaller than it was to begin with, but it is the cannon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not all this stuff, all this burden and everything. Its purpose is revealed. And when the church is all that, we get rid of all this stuff. And I think we're about to go through a purging season that's going to begin to just cause these things to fall off. And a lot of things that you've lived your life for. I mean, you lived your life for, that you brought people to, that you promoted, that you paid for, that you took pledges for, that you talked about, that you bought little lapel pins and gave to everybody for, and all this different stuff, that stuff might not make it. But it's okay if it's not the church, isn't it? It's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, because all you want is the church. You don't want anything extra. Because when the churches start being the church, this is what we're called to do. Okay, second brace. Second brace, okay. Don't forget you got the other thing locked up safe, so you can grab it out and look at it and go, okay, I see you. This thing, I didn't leave it; it's still there. This is what we're supposed to do as the church, is that the leaders in the church are supposed to look at the believers in the church and see the call of God on their life and the giftings in their life and the character that needs working on and the need to be able to be taught the things and the commands of God and to be able to walk up and mature the body, so that they can do the work that they're called to do. We're supposed to actually seek out those who don't know God, preach the gospel that they could be saved, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them to the teachings of Jesus so they can obey them, so that they are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Then we're to send them out into the world like sheep amongst wolves. Tell them to be as wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and stay related to them as the family we are in the body of Christ. And they are to be accountable as they go out, just like Paul and Barnabas came back and reported their church in Antioch of all the things that they were doing. And the kingdom advances when we do this. Mm. Is this dangerous? It always has been. It's always been dangerous. Jesus said, look out, watch out for men, right?
That's right.
And he said, when they arrest you. You know, when they arrest you. I mean, we're so got so many barnacles on us and so many things we've attached to ourselves that when things that Jesus said would happen, we don't have a grid for it. Mm. And we begin to judge the very fruit of what happens when somebody follows God and does what Jesus says. Because we don't can't even see the canon. Mm-hmm. We can't even see it. And so we're thinking, oh my goodness, people are talking bad about him or talking bad about her. That must mean that they're not of God. It's like, I know you're probably part of the 82% that hadn't read your Bible lately. But don't start in Genesis, swing on up and start in the Gospel, start in Matthew. Matter of fact, start in John and then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to soak that and realize that that's going to happen. We're going to be treated at least the greatest amount of treatment that we can expect that's good from the world is up until how Jesus was treated. We're not going to be treated any better than Jesus was treated, right?
Right.
A student will not be treated better than his teacher.
Right.
And so let's say, okay, he was liked by some, hated by others, betrayed by many, and beat, lied on, and crucified, right? Mm. And so it wasn't necessarily, you know, but look what happened. Mm. It was awesome. And so I want to encourage you to become that person who finds the kingdom of God it's like a man that finds a treasure. He finds a cannon buried in a field, but he don't know it's a cannon yet. It's all filled with barnacles and stuff. But you're hearing what I'm saying and it's bearing witness to you. And you're ready just to clean your cannon. You're ready to go through the process of separating what is of God and what's of man. Because first of all, you know, what's of man is not going to stand. It's all going to be tested by fire. And I think the fire is coming now. It's going to separate all this stuff, the wheat. It's going to separate the hay, wood, and stubble from the true work of God. Mm-hmm. And I always said, Lord, take it. I'm tired. Take the hay, wood, and stubble. If I'm spending my energy and my time on hay, wood, and stubble, dear Jesus, please, I am too tired right now. I want it to be meaningful. I want the work to be lasting. And I've always prayed that the Lord would take that away now. Instead of just building, you know, something else.
A bigger
bonfire. And so in the context of that, just begin to think. And let me tell you something, that the church is the body of Christ. Walking in obedience to Jesus is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It is an amazing thing. It is, it's what you were created for. It's your destiny. And religion and barnacles and coral things that grow on that is not. That's not. And as men, we have a tendency to allow things to attach itself to the original intent of what we were doing. And we can go back and just constantly, which time of fasting and prayer and just cleansing that out of our life and being willing to let things go. And that's how you know, if you're not willing to let it go, then you're not even holding it. It's holding you. Mm. It's holding you. And I think a separation's coming. So Hamby was talking about this. I don't know if I'm all in what I was kind of hearing, but I understood the gist of, I'm for the gist of what he's saying is that, you know, it's time for us to get back to what the Word of God says. And it says what it says. And it's this sort of like this. Imagine this book of laws that says the speed limit is this. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. And in that, there's also a particular law called grace and called mercy. And that when you understand how these things coexist, that the expectations of God, the love of God, the lavished grace upon our lives, and the mercies of God, because grace is not getting, is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve, mm-hmm. which means when we're walking with God in obedience to God and looking at his commands, this book of laws, looking at his commands, that we understand that, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it. But we're not going to avoid looking at it just because we're not perfect at it, because he has all the grace and mercy I need in my time of need, and I can approach the throne of grace with boldness because he can empathize with what I'm going through right here, and he will empower me if I abide with him to walk in his word. Mm-hmm. Hide his word in my heart and begin to just do, you know, what he says. And he says very specifically, very, very specifically through James, is that, and you'll be blessed in all that you do. Mm-hmm. He said, don't, you know, many people are merely deceived. These are the people that look at God's word and they don't do what it says. Mm-hmm. But if you look at God's word intently and study it and do what it says, he says, you'll be blessed in all you do. We need to go dig for this treasure. Dig, realize this is what I'm telling you, that it's the kingdom of God. And imagine it buried in a field. Everything that you're doing that's not of God, you know, just sell it, get rid of it, and go and buy that entire field and say, I'm going to stay here till we whittle this cannon out, because this generation is going to know God, and God's name is going to be glorified in the earth, and there's going to be a great outpouring in this day that's going to bring in a great harvest for the next generation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation where we are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right.
But you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. It was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
One of the things that the Lord was speaking to me about during this fast, and you know, we're crying out, man. We're asking God during this consecrated time of just not just shutting the food down, but entertainment and everything, because we want to hear what God is saying. We want to love Him, and so we're asking God, reveal Your love, you know, to me. Reveal Your love to us, and help me in turn to love You back. You know, love You with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. And He was speaking. If you missed last week's, oh my goodness, last week's program, you got to go on the torch. Go to bfntv.com. But you're going to hear about, you know, God's relentless love for you and the love of God. And she's just speaking volumes. And you know, one night I was in worship and I heard that song, you know, Lord, I want to yearn for You. And just, you know, caught up in worship and just started praying that out and just started hearing God speak. And He says, listen, you know, what happens when two yearning hearts collide? When two yearning hearts collide, they just connect. They just go after each other. That's what happens in the natural, you know, it's just a drawn. And the Lord was just reminding me that, you know, our connection with God, our true connection with God is just like spirit to spirit. It's our spirit's ability to connect with God's spirit. God is a spirit. And so are we. Our flesh and our body just contains who we really are. But, you know, that's why funerals are so sobering. When you go to a funeral and you see that the person is no longer there, all what's left is just the body. And what's so amazing is that God, that's how God wants to connect to us, spirit to spirit. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, for he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with Him. And it's so, I mean, that's powerful, because this is how God's going to begin to reveal His love to us. The Lord's going to reveal to us His love by His Spirit. We can't figure it out in our mind. We can't study the love of God. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can read books about the love of God. You need to experience the love of God. And it's not going to get it through your mind. It's going to get it, you know, through to your spirit. Now, I was reminded in John 15, verses 12 through 13. This is Jesus' words. He says, my command is this. Not my suggestion, not my wish, not my hope, not my desire, right? But my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Just love, right? Love mm-hmm. each other as the same way that I've demonstrated to you, the same way I've poured out my love for you. It works wonderfully with mercy too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Right. Offer mercy as the Lord has offered mercy to you. It's something mm-hmm. I try to remind myself often, right?
Right.
And then the verse 13 goes on to say that greater love has no one than this. I mean, Jesus is about to make such a profound statement that the greatest way to display love, greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. Wow. And it's like, wow. You know, God, this is the greatest way that our love can be displayed for one another. You know, it's talking about, again, you know, it says, love as I have loved you. Well, Jesus laid down His life for us.
Right.
But God's not asking us to get on a physical cross. He's asking us to lay down our desires, our wishes.
Well, you know, think about it. Death is sometimes easier.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the methodology of the process, but it is easier to die for someone than it is to live for someone.
Sure.
Live right. for them, not just live with them.
Yeah.
It's easier to die for someone
mm-hmm.
than to live for someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sticking around, I'm staying around for you.
Right. Yeah. And God began to speak that we are the channels of His love, believers. We can become the channels. We are the channels where His love flows through us. Once He shows us and reveals to us how much He loves us, you know, I can only love you to the extent and to the proportion that I know what love is. And if my love is very small because I haven't experienced the love of God, then I am loving you. You know, and God's calling us to experience His love, to encounter His love. Why? So that we can allow that love as an open channel to others. But oftentimes what gets in the way of love is us. You know what I'm saying? It's me. Mm. You know, it's us. We clog up
the channel that God wants to flow through. And I was just so encouraged. The Lord just continued to say over and over again, just, you know, lay it all down. Just continue to lay it all down, because whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you are doing it to me. It's such a powerful scripture. It's just, it's an amazing truth, because we get to be like God, Christ-like, when we follow in His steps and in His ways, and we lay down those things that at the very end are not even worth fighting for. You look and it's like, what? Did I get into an argument over that?
Yeah, right.
You know, did I really, you know what I'm saying? Did I get offended over that? And it's like,
it's,
you know,
amazing.
What?
It's like, we got to do a segment. We got to talk about Beta Satan.
Oh, yeah. Offense. We've talked a little bit about it on VFN Radio already, but we really need to go into it because.
Don't take the bait.
And the truth is that if we just follow what God has told us and love as He has already displayed and given to us, and remove ourselves from the channel, from the waterway in which He desires to move His love, my goodness, how many people can be loved and touched by God through us if we just follow Him?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to vfntv.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile, things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to vfntv.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You know, it makes me think about what we're talking about. You know, you got to hear, if you missed it, you've got to hear what happened today in the first and the extra hour. You know, time is short, but it's short in regards to making a change.
That's right.
You know, we can make a change, or it's short in regards to somebody else making a change and we're living with it. But, you know, I think about this. There was this couple, John, there was this couple that had this child. And this child never talked. You know, most children kind of go, what? They begin like, ga-ga, goo-goo, something like that, right? Right? Is that right?
Or feed me.
Well, later on, yeah, it's like,
feed me.
No, and then... And then, you know, so they took the child to the doctors, you know, and the doctor says everything seems all right, everything's okay. And so they waited, maybe they just needed some more time, and so the child grew older, you know, this toddler, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and he's like, you know, he's still not talking. He's still not talking. And so they just think, well, I guess he just doesn't talk. You know, and then he got around 6 years old and he still hasn't said a word. Hasn't said a word. And they finally take him to another doctor. Just listen, check him out. Make sure, you know, and they said, we looked him over. He has everything. He has all the parts. I mean, everything's there. I don't know why he's not talking, but he could talk. I mean, he has the thing. I mean, everything's there. And so on his 7th birthday, his mama fixed him breakfast, and his dad was in there reading the newspaper in the kitchen. And she puts his breakfast in front of him. And this kid that hasn't talked up until 7 years.
Seven.
Who has all these parts to talk. He goes, Mama, this toast is burnt like the devil. And so with that, the parents are like just jumping around and celebrating, and they're just so happy. They're just exhilarated that, oh, our son can talk. He can talk. We thought he couldn't talk, but he can talk. And they're just, oh, they're just how happy. And then all of a sudden they came to a certain point. They began to wonder, And so they looked at him. If you can talk, son, if you can talk, why didn't you say something? He said, up to now, everything's been okay. And let me tell you something. This is the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Pat, you know, I want to share with you and Chris, you know, we're still in the middle of flu season. We're still in the middle of flu season, and I didn't realize this, but you know that this season lasts up until April.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, I didn't realize that. I just thought it kind of was a winter thing, but
yeah, I did too.
It lasts until April. You know, they're still encouraging people to get, you know, vaccinated in the flu shot. Mm-hmm. It does take about 2 weeks before it kicks in. But, you know, there's other things that you can do. Some people don't like taking a flu shot. There's other things that you can do, and CBN shares some tips. We want to pass those tips along to you today so that you can be prepared, you and your family. Mm-hmm. Of course, the number one thing that you can do from spreading the flu and these germs is, of course, to what?
Wash your hands.
Now, believe it or not, there is a method to the madness. There is a way to wash your hands, okay? It works, but if you do it right. And the way they're saying to do it right is you got to lather up there. You got to lather up there a good amount of soap. You can't just a little squirt it. You put a healthy dab in there. Get some good lather.
Yeah.
And you know, wash your hands. You know, so move your hands around there for at least 20 seconds. And they say that's the equivalent of singing happy birthday twice. Haven't tried that, but that's what they say. But
all right.
It's not the quick one. You know, my son say they wash their hands. And I said, did you use soap? What was that? Did you just turn the water on? Without, you know, you got to dry your hands afterwards. You know, you wash them thoroughly. And, you know, use warm water. Use warm water. You got to rinse your hands really good. Sometimes people use the hand sanitizers. You know, you want to use hand sanitizer that has 60% alcohol, and you want to rub your hands till they're dry, you know. But it's always better to wash your hands whenever you can. You know, the rubbing alcohol, the hand sanitizers are not kind of, you know, they're not the highest thing that you could do.
Right.
Also, you know, the flu virus also lives on surfaces, they're reporting, for up to 2 days.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine, you know, you've got your cell phone that you're picking up all the time, and then you're going to eat finger food and chips and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, door handles, knobs, your refrigerator, you know, handle, the coffee, you know, pot. You want to go ahead and just disinfect those areas and spray as much as you can and, you know, do those things to kind of disinfect all the items that everyone touches in the home. Another thing that they're reporting you can do is you need to get at least 8 hours of sleep.
How many?
8 hours. Good luck with that. I don't get 8 hours. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
yeah, I know. But eight hours helps your immune system. Of course, drink lots of waters and eat nutritious foods and take supplements like fish oil, vitamin C, D, and zinc. How about that?
All right.
Take that mix. But the 8 hours, I'm telling you, that's your body needs time to rest. It really, really does. And I've gotten in trouble there quite a bit on that, and I need to make sure I rest my body. One thing that I was really surprised to find out on here is that you can take a natural antibiotic. Never tried this before, but again, they're reporting that you can try coconut oil. Yep, coconut oil. I see that mind spinning there.
Well, no, I've heard there's a lot of things that coconut oil is good for.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard it helps with Alzheimer's, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It was on CBN, actually.
I never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say take one tablespoon in the morning and another at night, And they're saying that it tends to keep bacteria down so that if you are assaulted with the virus, your immune system can concentrate on the virus. And so it doesn't have to concentrate on 27 other, you know, bacteria that day. It can just focus. They also encourage not to eat lots of sugar and trans fat because it could cause inflammation, mm-hmm. which weakens your immune system. So these are just little tips, little things that you can take, you know, and some wisdom that you can apply. And you want to stay healthy, especially if you're gathering together as a church. You want to show love for each other by taking these necessary steps to not just so that you won't get sick, but so that you won't cause someone else that you love in your family or other believers in your fellowship to get sick. So I want to encourage you, wash, and disinfect those areas so we definitely get out of April. And don't forget to pray.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation